cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Welcome to Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette. We have got a full panel here for you tonight, folks, and a very special episode. Joining us, as always, John Mariano. How are you doing tonight, John?
I feel festive. I feel like it's the time of giving, and we should celebrate the Christmas holiday.
I could not agree more. And to share the festive season, we got two of our very best friends. Let's start with the one and only Jeff Saunders. Jeff, how you doing, my friend?
Feliz Navidad. Melakaliki Maka.
Close enough. But yes, we're talking Christmas here tonight. Glad to have you on board, Jeff. We also brought along our good buddy from Las Vegas, Nevada, the one and only Scott Haskins. Scott, how are you?
I'm ready to take off to the Great White North.
That's right. Tonight, we're going to my homeland, the Great White North of Canada, and the one and only Bob and Doug McKenzie from one of the greatest sketch comedy shows of all time, SCTV. I know John is a fan of SCTV. John, let's start with Jeff. Do you know anything about SCTV?
Just a little bit. I think that here in the States, it originally was aired on Cinemax, maybe. And it was kind of like a Canadian version of Saturday Night Live. But yeah, the big difference was like all of the bits, like kind of they were all part of a shared universe.
That's right. The premise was
the stories, stories continued usually through the bits.
Yeah. SCTV was a Canadian television channel. So they had different series, like the soap opera, The Days of the Week was a big one. They had things like Battle of the PBS Stars, featuring, and I showed John actually this not that long ago, one of my favorite sketches of all time was a Battle of the PBS Stars, and it was Mr. Rogers, played by Martin Short, boxing against Julia Child, played by John Candy. And look it up on YouTube. It is one of the funniest fucking things you'll ever see in your life. SCTV for us Canadians is a rite of passage. It's an absolute classic. Scott, do you know much about SCTV?
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to get some of the Canadian stations when I was growing up in Detroit. So we actually could see the show. And I remember Catherine O'Hare, John Candy, you know, obviously Dave Thomas. And it was great. In fact, Bob and Doug used to do the Beer Hunter on the radio. And we got some Canadian stations. We used to listen to them do that live as a call-in show.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Johnny, I know you're a fan of SCTV. What are your memories of this little show?
I mean, the cast is one of the big ones. I've been a huge fan forever, but like, you know, you got Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy, John Candy, Martin Short, just to name a few coming out of this thing. Also, like recently, I've gone back and started watching episodes and realized, like, we think of SNL as the end-all, be-all here in the States. And like, the Celebrity Jeopardy is one of the things I want to bring up. Because Celebrity Jeopardy is one of the most famous Saturday Night Live sketches. Most people know it. It's Will Ferrell doing Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. And then it's celebrities doing celebrity impressions. Or it's the cast members and celebrities doing celebrity impressions. And they have a adversarial relationship where they're kind of dumb versions of the celebrities and don't get the answers right. And there is a sketch that escapes me right now, but Eugene Levy plays the Alex Trebek character, and like 70s Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. And the other cast members just play idiots, not celebrity idiots, just idiots. But verbatim, you can watch these sketches side by side, and they're about 20 or 30 years apart. And SCTV predating SNL, and it's a complete ripoff. Like the notes, the jokes, the entire thing, and like you can call it an inspiration and find there's a couple of notes that are different, like namely being celebrities, but for the most part, it's a complete ripoff. And I look at SCTV. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble saying that. As one of the great original sketch comedy shows. That was experimental for its time. It felt a lot like a Laugh-In, a little bit less like SNL. The sketches were all very well crafted, and it wasn't on live, so they were a little bit more produced than you would get on SNL. Like for instance, the boxing match that Corey's talking about had a Benny Hill element to it, where they speed up the tape and they go running around the ring at 3 or 4 times speed, and it makes it funny, like it's part of the joke. So the production definitely plays into part of SCTV. If you get a chance to seek it out, I highly recommend it. It's up there for me with like things like Kids in the Hall. I like The State, Monty Python, SNL. Even though I'm knocking SNL right now, I'm doing it to kind of lift up SCTV a little bit too. And to show you even things that we think are original. Because I still love Celebrity Jeopardy. But yeah, I can't. I have to respect that SCTV did it first. And did a great job establishing what the ground rules were going to be for that sketch.
And that sketch was called Halfwits. Because John Candy's in there, Martin Short's in there. It's absolutely hilarious. SCTV for us played usually in place of Saturday Night Live. I know in the States, I think it played after SNL for a bit, and then it played on Cinemax for a bit. Very low budget. It started in the old firehouse with Second City in Toronto. Eventually, they moved to Edmonton, Alberta, and produced the show out of there just because there was a station willing to give them studio space and airtime to air their show. And it's pretty much legendary now. I know John and I have talked about actually maybe doing a rewatch on SCTV and doing a podcast on it, because there's so many great classic sketches. Like you said, the cast is legendary. John Candy, Eugene Levy, Dave Thomas, Joe Flaherty, Andrew Barton, Catherine O'Hara, Martin Short. The list goes on and on. Harold Ramis was on the first season or two of SCTV before he really took off, playing a character of Mo Green, and was just absolutely hilarious. But the two characters we're talking about here tonight are Canadian legends, and they're Bob and Doug McKenzie. Now, for people our age, we all kind of remember Bob and Doug as kind of being like, they're the toque-wearing, beer-swizzling hosers of the Great White North. The story behind Bob and Doug is actually pretty funny, in that in Canada, we have a thing called the CRTC, the Canadian Radio and Television Communication Council. And their whole purpose is to get Canadian content onto the airwaves. And they went to SCTV and said, you don't have enough Canadian content. Even though it was an all-Canadian cast, doing an all-Canadian show, written all by Canadians, produced by Canadians, airing on Canadian airwaves, they said it wasn't Canadian enough. So Dave Thomas said, what the fuck do you want us to do? Put on toques and talk about back bacon and drink beer and, like be the stereotypical Canadians. So that's what they did. They said, whatever time we have left on an episode of SCTV, let's just fill it with this like hoser talk. And so they did a thing called the Great White North. And if they had 8 minutes left on a show, Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis would put on toques and drink beer and just talk about whatever. And that was their Canadian content, and it took off somehow. Like they would shoot like 8 or 10 of these on a weekend and just tag them on the other shows as like filler. And it became popular, and not only in Canada, but in America too, like take off. It became like a phrase that Americans knew of back in the '80s and stuff. And they actually, became very, very popular in North America. So they released an album. And it's a lot of it is just them getting drunk and just kind of spitballing kind of stuff they would do on the show. But one of the things they did on their album was they did the 12 Days of Christmas. And I can't speak for my American friends on the panel, but in Canada, they play this ad nauseum to this day, the 12 Days of Christmas by Bob and Doug McKenzie. Scott, have you ever heard the 12 Days of Christmas by Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Oh, I listen to it multiple times a year. Well, the whole album. I love the whole album. And I couldn't tell you the number of times I heard it. I think I found out about it because Take Off was played on the radio quite a bit. The single that they did with Geddy Lee. Mm-hmm. Found out the album came out, and then immediately went to the record store back when we had record stores like we did in the 80s and snatched it up. And then, of course, the movie Strange Brew came out. But see, I even said came out. as if I was Canadian. And my band is Canadian, so I end up saying that a lot. But, you know, they also did a lot of beer commercials during hockey. I think it was for Molson Golden beer. And those would come on during the hockey games because, you know, again, growing up in Detroit on the Red Wings games, they were sometimes broadcast in Canada and not Detroit. So we would watch on the Canadian station and they would always be on some ad for beer.
That's right. Jeff, way down in Texas, have you ever heard of Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I heard about these guys. I don't think I really don't think I remember watching SCTV when it first came out. I think I caught a lot of it later on Nick at Night. But yeah, I think I was in junior high or middle school, and my introduction to them was actually Strange Brew. And I was like hooked on and infatuated with these two hosers from the first minute of the movie.
John, would you say you're a fan of Bob and Doug McKenzie? What did you think of Canadians watching that that sketch?
I think to limit this Bob and Doug McKenzie to only a sketch, I put them up there with Cheech and Chong, Jay and Silent Bob, Bill and Ted. Like, they're one of the great comedy duos that we've seen on screen. And they belong up there with any of these, whether they're the stoner characters or these guys are a couple of drunkards. There's something of this era of comedian, right? Like, we think of famous comedic duos of like Martin and Lewis or Abbott and Costello, right? Laurel and Hardy. And in a more modern era, Bob and Doug are very similar and have a lot of play in that realm. And I think that we should be talking about more in that ilk.
I tell you what, these guys are really interesting because this was such a throwaway thing, yet this album that we're talking about here tonight, which Scott showed us a copy of, he has on vinyl here, Bob and Doug McKenzie, The Great White North, actually went triple platinum in Canada and sold 350,000 units in Canada alone, and 1 million copies total. It really kind of weird how this thing took off just kind of from nothing into this thing. But the 12 Days of Christmas, because we're approaching Christmas time. Jeff, have you ever heard Bob and Doug's 12 Days of Christmas?
I have. It's something I hear every year around the holidays, multiple times.
Well, even though this wasn't technically ever performed on SCTV, we're kind of glomming them in together because I really wanted to talk about the 12 Days of Christmas coming up during the holiday season here.
I think there's one other reason they were playing it. I don't think you've realized it yet, Corey.
Okay.
I've never heard this.
Have you never heard this?
I've never heard this. I'm a huge Bob and Doug fan. So I just wanted to let everybody know, we're going to get my live reaction to this on the air. Because I have no idea what's... Like, I know I'm familiar with Bob and Doug McKenzie, but I legitimately have no idea what's coming next. And we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks with Scott, Corey, and I. And, you know, Jeff was here tonight, so we're all recording together. I legitimately have no idea, and I've had no idea this whole time. I've been keeping it close to the vest.
Wow, I can't believe you haven't heard this. Take off.
What a hoser.
Good day.
Corey, do you have a Canadian-English dictionary to help John through the translations for the song?
I don't, but I think I'm pretty versed because I'm so close to the American border. I'm only about an hour away from the American border, and I've been to America quite a few times. Hopefully I can translate for him.
Okay. I'm sorry, Scott. I fully speak Canadian. I know what it's all about.
Then you would know we don't actually say a boot. That's actually an American thing perpetuated on Canadians. We actually say a boot.
It's actually a Michael Myers thing, and I'm pretty sure he's Canadian, perpetuated onto Americans about Canadians.
No. Michael Myers was the killer from Halloween. He didn't say a word.
We know that the most accurate representation we have of Canadians here in the States is Trey Parker and Matt Stone on South Park. I mean, I've always thought that your heads were actually detachable and that they bounced up and down when you, you know, when you speak. You have headphones on, Corey, so your head is weighted down, so we don't get to see that.
Scott, the accurate description of a Canadian based on Trey Parker and Matt Stone is a floppy-headed, beady-eyed little fellow.
That's right.
Corey, we are doing nothing but perpetuating a bunch of stereotypes, and for that, all I can do is say, I'm sorry.
Again.
Well played.
Canadians don't say sorry. You're all a bunch of sons of bitches.
You do say out.
No, we don't. We actually say out. But you know what? A Chesterfield is a couch. We don't say rough. We say roof. See, to us, you guys.
And mac and cheese is Kraft dinner.
Yes, and it's a staple of every Canadian's diet.
Yes.
But what do you say? Well, let's get some more Canadian content going here before the CRTC shuts me down. This is The 12 Days of Christmas by Bob and Doug McKenzie from way back in 1981.
Okay, Good Day is our Christmas part of the album, and you can play this at your Christmas parties or to yourself on Christmas Eve if there's nothing else to do.
Good Day, eh?
Yeah.
In case you thought, like, I wasn't on this part.
Oh, I guarantee you, you'd be on. Okay, so Good Day, this is the Christmas part, and we're going to tell you what to get your true love for Christmas.
Look out the window.
Where? What are you doing?
Snow.
No.
Oh, it's a great white north, and it's snowing because it's Christmas time. Hey, Hoser.
What?
Here's a quiz. Quiz for Doug.
Okay, I have my thinking toque on.
Yeah, right. What are the 12 days of Christmas? Just figure it out, right? Christmas is when?
The 25th.
Right, and what's the 24th Christmas Eve, right?
So that's two.
And then what's after that?
Wrestling day.
No.
Get Boxing out. Day, yeah, yeah.
That's three.
I know.
Then what's after that? Nothing.
New Year's.
Four. And what's
New Year's Eve?
Five.
Okay.
Where do you get 12?
There's two Saturdays and Sundays in there. That's four. That's nine. And three other days.
Are they just really counting days?
Well, they bring a good point. What are the 12 days of Christmas? There's like, what are that to be, like five? Like, you got seven to go.
This is, I've never seen the scientific method applied to a Christmas song.
It's a legitimate question raised by an intelligent Canadian.
I believe are the mystery days.
The mystery days, there you go.
Okay, now, this is our Christmas song in case you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas.
There's lots of ideas in here, so listen and don't get stuck.
Okay.
By the way, that's me on the organ.
Oh, jeez.
You start.
Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks and a beer.
Okay.
Like, really, you could stop there, right? You get a turtleneck and a beer? Like, you can't do any better than that.
You're good to go for the year.
Yeah.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toast,
two turtlenecks,
and a beer.
Okay, that should be more there, right?
Where? Go.
I think my favorite part of the song right now is like the line is a partridge in a pear tree, which has a lot of syllables to it. And it's just, and a beer. And they just still play the music, but there is so many. Like, Scott, what would you call that? Like, is that like a musical hanging chad? Like, what do you call that?
Just a lot of stupid empty space, really. It's like if you had a chorus and you just sang a line and then the band just played the rest while you stood there, it's just an awkward silence. My favorite part is that they don't know anything about the tempo of this song. They are nowhere even close to being where they're supposed to be.
Fuck tempo, like three French toast. That's awesome. I could go for some French toast right now. Eh? Get some like maple syrup. Like, come on.
I have been to Toronto and I've had Canadian, like real Canadian maple syrup. And let me tell you, it is delicious.
Absolutely.
Fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 pounds of back bacon,
three French toast,
two turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
See, they recognized it. Yeah, they put the beer in a tree. There you go. Are you happy?
I kind of am. Like, I think there should be more beer and trees.
Can't argue with that.
The fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toasts, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree. Okay, on the 6th, the golden
Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 packs of 2 4.
5 golden toques.
All right, do you understand? 6 packs of 2 4s, you know what that is?
I have no idea.
A 2-4 is a 24 case of beer. So you're getting 6 packs of 2-4s. That's a shit ton of beer.
Not for these guys.
No, not for any normal Canadian, but yeah, 6 packs of 2-4s, 5 golden toques. I know you guys don't call them toques. You call them like stocking caps or something stupid like that. But it's the thing you put on your head to prevent your head from freezing in the wintertime, eh?
So basically they're getting halfway through the song and they're saying, get more beer.
Exactly. Yeah, you're getting 6 packs of 2-4s, which I can't even do the math. I've had so many beers at this point, but 6 times 24, eh, is like a lot. And then 5 golden toques, and then 4 pounds of back bacon, which we just call bacon, but you fuckers call it like Canadian back bacon. And then only three French toast is my only like gripe, because you could use like more, eh? And then 2 packs of smokes, and then, you know, a beer in a tree.
Well, that's 144 beers on top of the one beer. It really makes day one look like you didn't even try.
Yeah.
You're only giving you one beer in a tree.
Yeah, you're putting a Molson Canadian in a tree, basically, on the first day. You're like fuck off. By day 6, you're getting, what, how many? 144 beer? Like, 140. That's a lot.
Well, and you have to go outside to get it, unless they brought a tree inside the house, which I'm guessing they probably didn't do. So that's a lot of effort on day one, when day two, you're basically just sitting in your chair.
Doesn't everybody bring a tree into their house, like, around Christmas time and put, like, tinsel and shit on it?
So I was just looking up. I was curious, guys. So we're up to 145 beers.
Yeah.
Right? If they can add another 20 beers by the end of this song, they will officially have a keg. It's 165 12-ounce bottles is a keg. So we're close.
We'll have to see if we get there. Yeah, we're close. We got a lot of days left.
Out.
Yeah, we got like 6 days left. All right, let's see what else we got here.
4 pounds of mac, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks,
and a beer in a tree.
Okay.
On the 7th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 packs of smoke.
Yeah, 6 packs of
5 golden toques.
4 pounds of mac,
3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks,
and a beer in a tree. This should just be the 2 days of Christmas. It's too hard for us. Co-hoser.
Oh, 8 days of the true love gave to me.
8 comic books.
7 packs of smokes. 6 packs of 2 4 5.
5
and a beer on the way. Yeah, that beer is empty.
Did they just give up?
Yeah, there's too many days.
Like, they brought in these backup singers out of nowhere. I'm here for Bob and Doug, and all of a sudden they're backup singers, and they just, like, what a wet fart all of a sudden. Like they gave up. Like, I like them out of tune. I like them out of sync. I like them going, oh, it's your turn, and they start late. But then all of a sudden they stop.
Yeah, I like it's that, too much.
And the beer went from the tree to their knee, and now it's empty.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen when you have 144 beers within a week.
So we have eight comic books, 7 packs of smokes, 6 packs of 2-4s, 5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer on my knee.
Can we talk about how kick-ass those backing vocalists are, though?
Oh, amazing.
They sound absolutely fantastic. The vibrato, the power, they're amazing.
It's like the voice of angels.
Yes.
They don't fit the song.
Fun fact, that's a young Shania Twain performing on this album.
Is that really?
No, I'm just making that up, but we could start that rumor.
Some more Canadian lies, I see. Isn't back bacon, isn't that grilled ham?
Yeah.
It's Canadian bacon. It's bullshit bacon, as I call
it. Yeah, Americans call it Canadian bacon. Here we just call it ham.
Isn't all bacon in Canada Canadian bacon?
No. No, we actually have regular bacon, too.
No. There was a smear campaign in the U.S. that people don't really talk about much. Mm-hmm. Because we're getting too cozy with our neighbors to the north. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of us here in the States almost incorporate Canada as part of the United States because we love them so much. And there are sections of the U.S. that don't agree with this. So what they did was they put out this smear campaign, and it all starts with renaming ham Canadian bacon here in the States, mm-hmm. to make us think Canadians are assholes, right? Because it's like, who would replace bacon with this, right? And like, I would think that Canadian bacon would be like nicer bacon. Right?
Is that why they pair it with pineapple?
Yeah, probably. Probably just to anger
us. The plot thickens.
But it's a terrible smear campaign because none of it's true, as Corey's saying. Like, Corey's sitting there and he's even telling us, we don't call that bacon, right?
That's true. Yep.
My conspiracy. Kind of
like when we couldn't say French fries anymore, we had to call them freedom fries. Remember?
Right.
Like, along that same line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like that, but it's meant to disparage our neighbors to the north, Scott.
Yes.
Yep.
Because we only pick fights with people that are over an ocean, you know, or as close as Cuba. But pretty much everybody, like, you have to cross an ocean for somebody we wouldn't do it with somebody that's we're landlocked with.
If I look at the map hard enough, I can figure out a way to cross an ocean to get to Canada.
If you really wanted to, but Jesus, just go through Montana. We're right there. Like, we're not that far away. Eh?
It's probably more treacherous to try and cross the Detroit River in the water than it would be to go out of your way to get to an ocean.
That's maybe the most treacherous thing in the world, crossing the Detroit River. Jesus, like.
Just don't eat the three-eyed fish. That's all I could say.
I tell you, I grew up in a border town about 15 miles from the American border. So we had a bunch of Yankees coming up to Canada just to drink the beer. Because in America, you guys drink basically horse piss, and you call it beer. It's like 2% alcohol. Up here in Canada, it's at minimum 5%. And we had some that would go 8%, 12% alcohol. So Americans would come up and have one beer and just get shit-faced. And I grew up in a bar. My parents owned a bar in a hotel. So we had a lot of fun laughing at Americans who would come up and say, yeah, give me a Canadian beer. And after two, we'd be like passed out.
Well, and the other big difference, too, is that our drinking age, minimum age, was 21, and in Canada, it's 19. So a lot of people would go to go drinking there. Another thing that people would do once they started opening the casinos in Windsor, they would go over the border to gamble, because with the exchange rate being $1.50 on the dollar, you're increasing your percentage by 50% that you have more money to gamble with, basically.
That's right. Good point. I had a lot of good memories of you know, crossing the border. And if you brought a six pack of Canadian beer down to an American town, girls would do a lot of things for a six pack of Canadian beer.
Wow.
And I know Jeff's eyebrows went up, and you are correct. Whatever you're thinking is right. So my parents owned a bar. So if I just took like a six pack of Molson Canadian or Labatt's Blue down to the States, we would have a rocking good time.
What would have happened if you took a 2-4?
Oh my God.
Wow.
So many American women for a 2-4. Like you think two would get them on the ground. Like, oh my God. We're talking like an orgy like that has never been seen before.
Okay, day 12.
12.
Day, and welcome to day 12.
Yeah. Golden
I love that. Welcome to day 12. And then did five.
They go. Jump from 8 to 12.
Yep, totally. Yep. Like, counting isn't our strong suit, eh? Like, it was hard enough to get to 8. Like, once we got past comic books, it's like, what else do you put for the 12 days of Christmas? I can't even think of anything. Maple syrup, maybe? Like, maple 9 syrup, jugs of maple syrup.
A scarf, a shovel, some mittens, bobsled. Yeah.
You get all that issued to you when you're born in Canada, so
that's true.
Yeah, it's kind of not a big deal. I like maple syrup's a good one. I can't imagine, like, if we had three more days, what else will we put?
Well, I would say nine maple syrups would be pretty good.
I think he was around already. I would put Brian Adams up there.
I would add either the Sasquatch or the Wendigo.
Both are prevalent. Yeah, actually, there's another Sasquatch sighting in Saskatchewan, actually, Jeff. You may want to come up here sometime. They're all over the place around these parts.
You don't have to twist my arm.
I might have to renew my passport now.
That's right. Come experience Regina, the city that rhymes with fun.
4 pound of bacon, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a dream.
Where did you learn to do that?
Albums.
Come on. So, like, that's our song. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And good day.
Good day, everybody. Happy New Year. You know what you left out?
What?
Donuts. I told you.
Oh, donuts. Yeah.
Either on the 9th day or the 10th day or the 11th day.
Okay,
I wanted donuts. But I wanted.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Or on the 12th day, you could have gotten me a dozen donuts.
Go on to the
store. You could have gone down.
Get some
to,
presents.
Like a good donut shop where if you buy a dozen, you get another one free. And that would have been 13 for the 13 days of Christmas.
Next Christmas, get me a chainsaw.
Boy, that song is a beauty. Move.
Yeah, I think it ranks up there with Stairway to Heaven.
What?
That song was a beauty, and it does rank up there with Stairway to Heaven. John is scowling. John, what did you think of Bob and Doug's 12 Days of Christmas?
Look, I think it's one of my favorite Christmas songs. Like instantly, I wish more radio stations down here would play this because we play the same like 12 songs over and over again on radio stations from Thanksgiving to Christmas down here. And let's make it a baker's dozen. Let's get a 13th song in there and give Bob and Doug some love because this song is great.
Jeff, you're way out in Texas. What did you think of our Canadian 12 Days of Christmas, eh?
I loved it all the way down here, eh? It's like I said earlier, it's part of my Christmas playlist. And my only regret is we do have like a station that plays nothing but Christmas songs. I never hear this in their rotation.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, I know you're a fan of the Bob and Doug and the 12 Days of Christmas. I know not that long ago, they actually released Bob and Doug McKenzie's 2-4 anniversary. It has all their best moments on SCTV, including all their greatest hits from the album. Do I have to try and find a copy for you and send it down to Las Vegas?
Is this audio or video?
It's video. It's actually a little one-hour documentary on Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Oh, I'm going to have to find this. Yeah,
I got a DVD copy. I'll send it your way.
Oh, nice. I do love this song. This, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I know it's comedy, but to me as a Christmas song, it ranks right up there with like Wonderful Christmas Time or some Bing Crosby. It's just that important to me. I will say I know from the rest of the album that Doug likes Ray's Chocolate Donuts in the Morning, which when I worked at Dunkin' Donuts, that was my favorite. And he likes pineapple filled at night, which I find a very strange thing to eat before you go to bed. Probably explains a lot about why Doug is the way that he is. But I do have a little trivia.
Okay.
I did a very light deep dive into what the 12 days of Christmas actually are. And they are the last 6 days of the old year, the 26th through the 31st of December, and the first 6 days of the new year going into January. So they are not related specifically to Boxing Day or there's no mystery days. They are literally the 12 days after Christmas, which makes them the 12 days after Christmas.
That's very interesting. I never knew that. John, your first listen on the 12 days of Christmas. Final thoughts?
I think it's a fun and fine song. I think it's a good representation of Bob and Doug. I highly I think if you enjoyed this, go seek out SCTV, seek out Bob and Doug. They have a movie together too. The reason why I said, when Scott was bringing up the 12 days of Christmas and what they actually are, I know at least in the Catholic religion, I believe it's January 6th or so is Little Christmas, it's either the 6th or the 7th. I haven't practiced in a while, but it's probably counting from one holiday to the next in the Catholic religion or something like that.
What is Little Christmas?
It's a Little Christmas. I don't know. It's a thing. It's a thing. Very Italian households used to celebrate in my area, and I'm sure around the world. And it's part of the Catholic religion. And you know, part of what happens when you decide to step away from religion, Scott, is you don't remember all the details that you learned as a youth. But Little Christmas is known as Old Christmas. It's also known as the 12th night, so that would be the 12th day of Christmas, right? So whatever the significance is, I think it's the Feast of the Epiphany. So you can go listen. Look, this is not your Catholic podcast. Go turn on to your AM dial and go find that. But what you can do is know that it's actually a thing, and that's what the countdown is. And it's a fun song. I like the 12 Pains of Christmas is another version of the song I enjoy, where it's like people bitching about their lights and stuff. But this take with Bob and Doug kind of being too drunk to remember the days that they wrote is pitch perfect.
There you have it. Bob and Doug McKenzie's 12 Days of Christmas. If you don't know SCTV, go seek it out. Most of the seasons are on DVD. And I'm just going to throw this out here. We got a pretty fun panel here tonight with John, with Scott, with Jeff. I have every season on DVD. If we want to do a watch along on SCTV, I think this would be a great panel to do it. I know I'm in. What do you guys say? Would you be interested in watching some great sketch comedy from Canada from 1976 to 1984?
I'd do it.
Absolutely, man.
I'm a hard maybe. I have commitment issues.
Fair enough. But
you also don't like to not commit.
I don't like to go one way or the other, Scott. So, like, I'll let you know.
Well, you know, if you walk left side of road, safe. If you walk right side of road, safe. If you walk middle of the road, squish like grape.
Words of wisdom.
That should be in a movie.
It should. God, that's a great line. Let's put a bow on this one. Jeff Saunders, my good friend, we're coming up to Christmas time here in the new year. What do you got coming up? Are you going to maybe resurrect your podcast feed there?
I am thinking about it. I think that there should be some more episodes of Mr. Saunders' Sandbox coming out on the Feeding the Monster podcast feed. And in the new year, I think maybe I've teased this before, I'm going to be launching a new feed, and it's going to be all about those delightful hairy man apes that I have grown to love, the Woolly Buggers.
Oh, the Chippendale show I thought you were talking about.
No. That's a completely different podcast for a completely different channel.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but when Jeff said what he said, am I the only one on this panel? And Jeff, you can't answer this. So this is a question for Scott and Corey. Am I the only one on this panel that heard Jeff describe his new feed as hairy mayonnaise?
That's what I thought at first too. Yeah,
that's probably the scotch.
I didn't think it was wrong.
No. I'll launch one about mayonnaise too, with hair in it. But I'm going to launch a feed called Walking with Big Feet. And more to come on that in the new year.
Interesting.
There you go. We'll help you promote that, my friend, once that gets up and rolling. Scott, you got so much going on. Tell us a little bit about what you have happening.
I do. Well, let's see. The second book of my Universal Court series should be out on December 27th. Rolling into the new year, the Magician's Podcast, my Uriah Heep podcast, is coming back starting January 10th with two new seasons, one leading up to the release of their 25th studio album. And then that album drops on January 27th. And there may be a show. It just depends on when my CD copy arrives. And as soon as it does, I'll start getting those reviews up. So I'm very excited to bring that show back. It's been on hiatus for about 4 months since I completed their catalog. And I miss it. So it's good to get back to it. And of course, in the meantime, I've got the Haskincast podcast that is every Wednesday as well.
That's right. I'm trying to think of an excuse for John and I to come on the Haskincast to talk about whatever. Yeah, you haven't invited us, but yeah, I'm going to try and weasel my way in there because.
Well, I did. We were going to do something to promote me coming on the Aerosmith show, and it just hasn't. We haven't been able to get that together. But yeah, you guys got to come on the show, and I'd love to have you on too at some point. Promote your show.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of paranormal and cryptozoology. So yeah, let's do something.
Jeff's show is right up your alley. Then he's had some amazing guests. He's had a werewolf expert, Dr. Jimothy Pickles. Who's been had some interesting stuff. Some other guests too have been on that show. Vampire experts. Maybe tell us a little bit about that, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're talking about the Truly Bizarre World, mm-hmm. Which was a YouTube show that I worked on for the last couple of years, and it's my take on all the things that go bump in the night, all the cryptids, and all of the crazy, kooky conspiracy theories out there. And it's all done with like a little bit of Southern charm and a little bit of Southern comfort, or maybe some moonshine.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've never seen you drink Southern comfort, Jeff.
I do want to point out that Jeff changed his name on our podcast video feed here to Rosie LaRose. Right. That is a wonderful throwback to the Strange Brew movie that ironically did not play the song Strange Brew.
I know, right?
Which was probably for the best because it really wouldn't have worked out. But I love as soon as I saw that, I just started laughing. That was great.
I would love to do a song from Strange Brew, but like the Ian Thomas song Strange Brew is fucking terrible. So I don't know if I could get through an entire show listening to that crap. But any excuse to talk about SCTV or Strange Brew, I'm going to take. John Mariano, what do you got going on?
I got bed soon. We stayed up extra late to get this one in, which is probably why, as we went on, I started to turn it into a bit of an incoherent mess. But I hung out with you guys, and I'm proud of myself.
You did great, my friend. And I'm so glad we got this show in. This is a great panel tonight. And thank you for indulging me and the Bob and Doug 12 Days of Christmas. Musically, of course, is nothing too spectacular, but a little bit of my childhood. I still pop on the vinyl every Christmas. It's playing on the radio here in Canada all the time. Everybody loves Bob and Doug 12 Days of Christmas. And I'm not kidding about that SCTV watch along. If you guys are up for it, I would love to watch some SCTV with you guys. So
I'd do it.
I'm down.
Maybe something to look forward to in the new year. But until then, on behalf of Jeff Saunders, Scott Haskett, John Mariano, my name is Corey Marsa. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music.
Okay, good day. Welcome to the Great White North. Go. Go again. Beautiful. Okay, good day. Welcome to the Great White North. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh?
And whoa, did you hear about, well, you can tell.
Okay, you hear about the guy who, like, was opening a beer, eh, and, like, went to drink and then did the stupid thing of looking in the bottle and, whoa, there's a mouse in his bottle, eh?
Real mouse. Well, I guess it was dead, right? Drowned from the beer. And drunk, too.
Drowned, like happy, it died too. It had a smile on its face, eh?
It died from drunk driving in the bottle. But you know what the guy got?
Tell him. A whole case of beer.
Right.
So our topic today is how to stuff a mouse into a beer bottle without breaking it. Its bones.
Right.
So that they'll look at it and give you a case and not think you hosed them by deliberately stuffing one in, eh? It's like shipbuilding in a bottle, okay?
Right. And like the thing to remember is let's say you get a six pack, right?
Yeah.
Six mice, right?
Six mice.
Okay, you get a case for each beer bottle with a mouse. So a case of 2-4, right? A square for like times six.
What's six times 24? Jeez, I don't know. I don't have my calculator, eh?
Okay,
I can't figure that out.
Six times four is 24.
You could gross me out on the air and make me look dumb.
No, I'll do it. You tell him more about it.
Okay, so what you do is, the idea is to get a baby mouse that you can, like, put in an empty beer bottle and feed it in the bottle for, like, a month. And then fill the beer bottle up with beer and put a cap on it.
104.
Yeah, 104 beers you get just for that.
Six squares.
Beauty. And then what do you get back?
No.
104 bottles
of
beer.
No, it's not 104. I took away the two.
Okay, like, but you get a lot, eh? So it doesn't matter if it's like 100 or what. All you know is get baby mice and put them in there, feed them for like a month, and then Bob's your uncle.
100 and...
Good day, eh? We don't have time for you to do your math.
144.
He flunked out of grade 6.
144.
Yeah, right.
I think it is.